Wonderful passage, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Amen. Fellas, we can turn that heat down just a little bit. I'm not preaching on hell this morning. I don't need to demonstrate anything. I could come out of my sweater, but that would embarrass me and you too. So. Amen. Romans chapter 10, if you would turn there. Romans chapter 10. Thank you for your prayers this week. They have helped. The Lord has touched me. Not fully recovered, but I feel 100% better. I entitled this, Just Good News. Just Good News. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 says, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they are ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way, Do not say in your heart, Who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will ascend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture says, Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What a wonderful passage, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving that to us and all the wisdom that is there. Spirit of God, we call upon you today to just bring insight to your word. Open this up to us today so that we can see the riches of your wisdom and your grace, Lord. Help us not complicate it as man so often does, but help us just to see what you have laid before us. Let our ears be open to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Last week we spoke on Romans 9. And I knew that was going to be a tough week with a voice. Little did I know I was going to get to preach it without a voice. And it was a hard chapter. It's hard to preach and balance out the sovereignty of God. But let me tell you, we believe in the sovereignty of God. If you don't believe in the sovereignty of God, you're a fool. You're a fool. Because Romans chapter 9 teaches it. But if you believe that it's all about the sovereignty of God and we have no choice, again, you're falling foolish. That's nicer to say it that way. So we have got to keep the balance. We've got to figure this thing out. If Paul believed this was all about the sovereignty of God, why would he start chapter 10 as a prayer that Israel would be saved? God knows who's he going to save. If it's just his choice that some's going to be saved and some's going to be damned, then why should I waste my time praying? So that obviously is not his intent in chapter 9. His intent is somewhere in the middle, somewhere to balance this out. Is there decisions that God makes that we don't get a choice in? Absolutely. Absolutely. One of them being the plan of salvation. It didn't come up for vote at any church that I've ever been in. Did it for you? Shall we believe in the plan of salvation or shall we not? And it didn't take God by surprise either. Because see, you can see the plan of salvation in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 is the first verse that plans the salvation with a promise. Yes, you'll bruise him, but he's going to stomp on your head. That's Jesus. When he covered them with the blood of an animal, he knew where he was headed. Right? God had it all. Let me tell you, when he went in the garden and said, Adam, where are you? And couldn't find Adam. God didn't say, oh dear Jesus, what am I going to do now? No, that would be the pastors. We would act like that, but not God. God is sovereign. We understand that. But man also has a choice. So the very first thing he does is he begins to open this chapter, which is just a continuation of chapter 9. I almost, in some respects, I hate that we went through and put chapters and verses, to be honest with you. It is quite easy to find out where the verses are, and I'm glad about that. What I dislike is the fact that every time we see a chapter in our mind, he's changing points. And that's not true. He's continuing on his thought. And that's why we can come up with the errancy of doctrine, is because we think chapter 10 is totally different than chapter 9. No, sir. He's writing his letter. He's continuing this thought. So now he's praying for him to be saved. Two things I want you to notice. The first thing is, Paul said, I'm grieved over my countrymen, but he didn't say he was angry. How many people have ever seen pastors preach angry? Been there, done that, and ate the medicine, right? Gives us heartburn many times, doesn't it? I've seen many pastors preach angry. The Bible says the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. And that's not just about pastors. It's about you. You see, if you got a brother or a sister or a child not serving God, your anger is not going to draw them to Jesus. Your love will. Presenting the love of Christ. Jesus didn't go to the cross and said, I'm so mad at you. Look what you've done to me. That's what I would have done. You dirty dog don't deserve me. He wasn't mad. There's a verse that says, for the joy set before him. How can you talk about the cross and talk about joy in the same verse? The joy set before him, he endured the cross. That blows my mind. But it challenges me in this. If Jesus could love us when we were yet sinners, enough to give his life for us, I think I ought to be able to muster up enough love for those in my family that come to the picnic drunk, that are disrespectful in every way. Right? Do you have them? I have them coming in already loaded. And they go back to their car because they want to reload every few minutes. Right? Now, it doesn't make me happy, but me getting mad at them is not going to help them. Me showing them the love of Christ will. Number two, he's encouraging us to continue to pray for the lost as long as they are living. As long as your lost family can fog a mirror, you have a chance. Fog a mirror. Get it? They don't have to be walking. They don't have to have their own teeth. Their own hair. Thank you, Jesus. As long as there's breath, there's hope. As long as there's hope, you ought to be praying. Praying for the lost. Especially for your family, for your friends. But more than that, continue to pray for others. Verse 2 I love. If I could read it. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Oh me. How many of us have been zealous, but ignorant? Pam Woods' brother used to call me all the time.
And he'd say, Jeff Dowdy'd call me and say, Eric, I think we need to go do this. And I'd say, oh, glory to God, I got my boots on already. He got me into more trouble than I've ever been in my life. I finally realized, Jeff, I got to pray about whatever you tell me to do. I've got to spend some time in prayer. He meant well, but many times, man, did he get us in hot water. Paul knew what he was talking about. He watched Stephen get stoned. He was zealous, just on the wrong side. I hate them stinking Muslims that are killing Christians, don't you? You shouldn't. You shouldn't hate them. See, the Hollywood wants us to hate them. The news leads us towards hatred. God leads us to love. Why? Because they're zealous without knowledge. They're serving the wrong God. Don't you ever believe that we serve the same God. We do not serve the same God as the Muslims. What would happen if one of those people that are willing to lay their life down would get saved? If they took that same zeal and applied it with knowledge to the kingdom, they could do great things. So what should we do? God, touch those men and women in ISIS. Let their eyes be open. You're not going to see this on the nightly news. Oh, they killed 20 more Christians. They beheaded them. Don't feel sorry for those Christians. They're in heaven. They're in heaven. They're where you're wanting to go, and they just got there really quick. Now, I'm not making light of that in any way, but they're in heaven. What you should do instead of hating is start praying for those people that are holding the knife. You've been there. Come on. You've done things that you thought, man, this is going to help the church or this is going to be great. No knowledge. Doesn't always work out so well. So we need knowledge. Do we need zeal? Man, I'm telling you, the church needs a B12 shot. We are the most... Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Or give me oxygen, one or the other. I mean, we're like on our deathbed. We are so lethargic. Is that the word? Lethargic? We need a little zeal, but with wisdom. And in verse 3, it basically says this. When you miss God's way of doing things, you're going to substitute your way. It says the Jews did not accept his way of righteousness, so they made their own way towards righteousness. Right? Has that ever been done in the church? Oh, come on. That's got the church's picture beside it in my Bible. Come on. Are you getting me? See, we either get our doctrine from the Word or we make our doctrine up. Now, maybe you hadn't been saved a long time. But if you've been saved for a little while, the church will give you a Bible in one hand, and then they'll give you an unwritten book of the law of the church. Here's how Christians do it. You better walk right, and you better talk right, you better cut that hair, and boy, there's just things you're gonna split hell wide open. It is true, isn't it? It's very true. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end is death. I would like to say that way is called religion. And every time we add another line, you see, Kelleher chapter 1 verse 2 says, if you want to go to heaven, you better pay your tithes. Is that what the Word says? Or is that what Kelleher says? Righteousness is the state of moral perfection required by God. Does this sound obtainable to you? Moral perfection. How are you going to do that, Deborah?
I can't.
You can't. But now if you keep the 612 laws and the 1,300 laws that the Pharisee added to it, you might get close. But you might feel like a dead man already. It doesn't make sense that keeping the law is going to make me morally perfect. Well, we don't teach that, Eric. Well, I don't know what church you come out of. But the churches I come out of, we were so law-based. You got to do this, you got to do that. The only thing that we could do is we could eat pork, shrimp, it doesn't matter. You could eat everything that's in your sight and you'll still go to heaven. But everything else, oh, we'll make a rule for it. You couldn't even skate when I was a kid without going to hell. Definitely couldn't dance. When my first son got married and he wanted to dance at his wedding, I thought, oh dear God, what a reprobate. I didn't say nothing. The whole night he was saying, come on, Mom and Dad, get up here and dance. I'm like, no, I don't. The only one I dance with is the Holy Ghost. You know what I saw that night? I saw people that danced and had fun, and it was not immoral. Did you dance? Don't tell me an assembly of God asked, you got us to come out of here. I can see Brother Bud. It's Fats Domino and Brother Bud. Second Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, moving right along. Says, I know Deborah would dance, I'll tell you, I know that woman. It says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see, your righteousness is not going to come by you keeping the law. It's going to come by your identity in Jesus Christ. You can't do it yourself. It's not a work. It's what He gives us. It's the greatest trade in life. Lord, I give you my sin and I take your righteousness. So when God the Father looks down upon me, He doesn't see me as a sinner. He sees me covered in the blood of His Son and the righteousness that His Son has. Don't complicate it. It's that simple. Paul faults the Jews for not submitting to God's righteousness. And in Christianity, submission is a big deal. Not just wives submit to your husbands. Submission to God is a big deal. And submission in America, we tend to buck up at. Don't you tell me I have to submit to anybody. Oh, those are fighting words. James chapter 4 says, submit to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee to you. Many people quote that, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But they forget the first part of it says, submitting yourself to God. Your whole life should be a life that submits yourself to God and watch the blessing of the Lord come upon you. Christ is the end of the law or the completion. That's what verse 4 says. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. What's that mean? It means Christ fulfilled the law. Eric, it sounds like you're preaching, get saved and live any way you want to live. That is not what I'm saying. Because you go to the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached, and he does not say, don't worry about that law. He increases it. He says, see, the law says, don't commit adultery. Okay, I can handle that. But I say, don't even look upon a woman with lustful thoughts. Whoa, he just took it to a whole nother arena. Don't call your brother, oh Jesus, I've done that in the service. Don't call your brother a fool. A very full of grace, Father. Right? Don't speak in anger. You see, Christ fulfilled the requirements of the law for righteousness to come to us. But as far as the moral code, he expects us to keep. He expects us to walk in that kind of morality. But it's not a code. He said that he would write that upon our heart. So I don't have to go to a book and study. Oh, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. What I need to do is seek the face of Jesus and the moral code that's written on my heart follow. And Jesus, and it's so liberating, Jesus will never lead you to sin. The Holy Ghost will never lead you into sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The word will keep you out of sin. And when you stay out of the word, you'll get into sin. What you told me, wasn't it, Brother Bob? That was good. Should have wrote it down because I can't say it twice. Then he goes on in verse 5 through 7. Paul begins to quote Moses in his farewell address. And he's quoting, Moses is saying goodbye to the people. And basically the end of this, Moses says, basically, guys, there's blessing and there's curses ahead of you. I just want you to choose life. Choose the blessing. Choose the way that God wants to bless. So that's those verses that are confusing. Shall we go into heaven and bring Christ down? Or shall we go into the depths of the sea and bring Christ back from the dead? He's quoting Moses. Those are the words of Moses. And then he goes on to where I really want to spend some time. He says, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. My goodness, how much we have complicated salvation and how simple Christ made it. As a pastor, everybody has got an opinion on how you give an altar call. People will tell you, you can't let people accept Christ from their pew. They've got to make a public profession. They've got to come down. They've got to do this. They've got to cry. They need to shake all over. They got to start when they're three and confess every sin. Man, that used to get me. Were you ever told that? You got to confess every sin to Jesus. And I'm thinking, I don't remember them all. I was good at sin. But that ain't what the word says. He made it so easy. It's like the Lord wanted everybody to be saved. I don't get it. The church wants to have a special little club where only the sanctified gets to come. But Lord says, let's make it easy. You ever seen mentally challenged people accept Jesus? Absolutely. You ever seen a dog accept you? No. I have prayed for my dogs to be saved. They did not accept. The word believe there is pistuo.
It means to trust in, to have faith in, to be fully convinced of or acknowledge. It's more than a credence to church doctrines. It expresses reliance upon and a personal trust that, listen to this, that produces obedience. See, what you believe, you will act upon. You can't split that. If I truly believe that Toyota is the best car on the market, why would I drive a Ford? Doesn't make sense. If I believe that chair will hold me up, I'll sit in it. If I believe that chair will not hold me up, I would not sit in it. Right? Your actions will follow your belief. And that's why salvation is God's. It's not ours. You see, we want to judge people. We want so badly to judge. We want so badly to say, well, he's not really a Christian. She's not really a Christian. Why? Because they have done something that we don't like. But you don't know that. And neither do I. Now, I believe there's fruits associated with salvation. I'm not saying that. I believe that if someone goes along, continues to live for Jesus, their life's going to change. Their life is going to represent their belief. But he says you got to believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. How did the church screw that one up? We said you got to confess all your sins. But that ain't what he said. He didn't say come forward to the front of the church, make a public spectacle. That's what baptism is. Baptism is the profession of faith that we make before people. Salvation can be in your closet. It can be in your car. It can be in a tree stand. It's about you and God. The word confess there is homologio. Homo meaning the same, logo meaning the word. He's saying you need to confess my word. Confess my word. What word? That Jesus is Lord. That I believe that there really was a virgin birth. I really believe an angel appeared before a little teenage girl and said, I want to impregnate you with the seed of God. And a very just man that she was engaged to said, I will not have sex with you until after we're married because I don't want anybody to be able to say that's my baby. I believe God did speak the word that said, Jesus, you go to earth. I believe in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says that Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he humbled himself and he became a servant. He came down and lived like us, died upon the cross. That's what he's saying there. You got to believe in your heart. What's happened? Jesus is Lord. There's only one way to salvation, and it's through Christ. There's only one way to righteousness, and that's through Christ. I am so sick of the rules. I'm so sick of the church laboring people down, saying you got to look like this, you got to do this, you got to do that. That's malarkey. There's freedom in Christ. He come to set the captives free. Now, church, we need to quit it. We need to quit putting the rules on people. Can we just allow the Holy Ghost to be the Holy Ghost? But what if I go to someone's house and they got beer in the refrigerator? Well, pull up a chair and have one with them. No. Pray for them. Don't condemn them. Not unless you have scripture and verse that said, thou shalt not drink bud. Right? It's not labeled there. Quit making up the rules. Well, yeah, but when I got with this Christian, he cusses. So does Treva. But I love her anyway. No.
But I love her anyway. I believe she's saved. I really believe she's saved. I hope she gets this eye this week. I just want you to understand, he did not attach any works to this thing. You know what that means? That means that guy on his deathbed that says, I believe and I receive that Jesus is the Christ. That means he goes to heaven. That sours some of you, I know. Because you say, no, you've got to be baptized. Get the Church of Christ out of you, would you? Let's stick with what the Word says. Believe, confess, you shall be saved. It's as simple as that. Why is baptism not a part? Because there is scripture that says, believe and be baptized and you shall be saved. Why? It's a work. Baptism is a work. It's something you've got to do. He made it so simple that it's nothing you do. You believe. Confess. It's that easy. Pastor, then do you believe that everybody that says a prayer goes to heaven? No, sir. I don't. I do not. I believe that's God's business. I don't know whether they believe or not. People can fool me. And they have all my life. People may fool you. People come in a Pentecostal church and if they speak in tongues, we go, oh, holy, holy, holy. But they're hateful and they're ugly. I'm pretty convinced that the devil speaks in tongues. Appears as the angel of light, but he doesn't walk in love. The most Christ-like that you ever become is not when you speak in tongues. It's when you walk in love. If we just get that. That verse goes on and says there's no shame. Now that ought to excite some of you. For when you get saved, he not only forgives you of your sin, but he takes the shame away. I don't care who you used to be. You're a new creature in Christ. And he removes the shame. He says, Pastor, I had an abortion. That's the old you. The new you, that's gone. He chooses not to remember your sin any longer. And here's another thing. I just think it's so good it happens. It's salvation. He says, there's no difference in Jew and Greek. That don't mean a hill of beans to me. But you know what does? There is no difference in men and women. Black and white. Hispanic. American Indian. I don't care what color you are. Jesus Christ broke down the partition. Broke down the barrier. Took racism out of it. Say, well, he didn't take it out of my heart. Oh, bless God, I noticed that. But he wants to. He wants to. See, the spirit of love doesn't see color. Now, I'm not talking about if a black man walked in this church, whether I would see that he's black. I'm not stupid. I can see a man's black. But does it matter? No. Somebody very special to me one time said, well, I'm not racist. And he looked at me and said, but what if your son brings home a black girl? I said, I'd have no problem with that. He goes, dear God. I ain't fooling nobody. I'd have no problem with it. As long as she loved Jesus. See, guys, we got to get past this one. Henry County is a racist county. We hide it. We don't talk about it. But we're racist. We do see color. There's people in this church that are racist. It ain't about me. I don't have to change you. But the Holy Ghost wants to. The Holy Ghost wants to get that out of your heart. It's not going to help you. Does he dance? Amen. You love that black grandson just as much as you love the white ones, don't you? Here's something that I want to finish with. You see the system that God put in place for salvation? Believe, speak. Believe, speak. Don't confess your sins. Not what it said. It says confess what I've just said. Confess that Jesus is Lord. Homologio. Say the same word as I'm saying. The Lord knew we're not real bright. Yeah. He called us sheep. Sheep's the dumbest animal in the world. They will literally walk off a cliff. If the leader does. We just like, sheep. That's what we are. We're sheep. We're not real bright. I know we like to pretend like we are. God did not place, okay, I have one method for you to get saved. I have one method for you to receive the Holy Ghost. I have one method for you to be healed. I have another method for you to receive prosperity. I have another method. Mm-mm. The method that you use to receive Jesus as Savior is the same road that you will travel in every area of Christendom. Everything that the Lord has for you, you're going to find this. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. Say, Pastor, why are you bringing that up? Because some of you are seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And man, if the church made salvation hard, we really tried to make this one hard. Right? We really said, oh no, you got to do it. Okay, well, we can get you there, but it's going to cost you a little. No, you believe. Here's what you've got to decide. Is the Holy Ghost really from God? Is it for today? Don't go back to your Baptist handbook, your Church of Christ handbook, your Lutheran handbook, or even your Pentecostal handbook. Just go to the book and say, did he include it for today? And if he did, is he good? And if you come up with a yes, yes, then your answer ought to be, then I want him. How do I get it? I believe and I confess. Do you remember when you first got saved? How many of you left the church saying, I don't think that worked. I still don't feel saved. I still want to cuss. I still have the old habits. It didn't change a whole lot on the outside for a while. It took a little while. You had to walk in faith. You had to say, I don't understand this, but I guess I'm saved, glory to God. Maybe I'll make it to heaven. That's what the preacher says. Can I tell you something? When you go to pray for the Holy Ghost, you may not feel like you got it. But the Lord says this, I won't withhold anything good from my children. And I am not a respecter of persons. The Lord will not give one person the Holy Spirit and then choose not to give it to another. It's all about you believing, you confessing, and then walking it out. I gave Jim a word. Where's Jim? Is that center leaf? No, he's there. I gave Jim a word last Sunday. And You know, I was sitting here worshiping and I just looked up and I saw Jim and the Lord spoke one word to me. He said, faithful. And I knew when he said that word to me, I knew the Lord wanted me to say something to him. I just, knowing my knower, right? You just knowing your knower. So that's why I called you down. I prayed for you. But I didn't just say faithful. I gave you a whole list of words. Why? Because when I stepped out in faith to act upon what God, that one word God gave me, then he gave me the rest of it. Some of us are waiting for God to fill in all the little details of life. So God, I just don't understand this stuff. And you're not going to. You just got to take that step. And when you take that step, he fills in the step two. And that's why the Bible says the just shall walk by faith. If you're waiting to get your act together and connect all the dots in the Holy Ghost, you're never going to receive much from God. Because it's a walk by faith. Most of the things that I believe, I still don't understand. And say, dear God, you're the preacher. I know, it's sort of intimidating. I preach stuff all the time I don't understand. I don't understand how prayer works, but I know it does. I don't understand tithing, but I know it works. Those of you that have known me for a long time knew that I blistered my kids on a pretty regular basis. It didn't make me a happy camper. I never spanked my children that I actually liked. It was something that I did because I believed the word. The Bible says the rod of correction will drive the foolishness from the child. Spanking my children never made me happy. But I believed in the word over my thoughts. So I acted upon the word. Is that good? Is that simple for you? That's going to be the way with all of it. You're never going to understand the deep spiritual things. You just walk in them. When the Lord brings that revelation to you, say, well, I don't understand this, but here we go. Let's go, Jesus. Aren't you glad he kept it simple? Believe and confess. Pastor, are you one of them positive confession people? Yes, I am. Within balance. I don't think God cares too much about what you drive, how much money you got in the bank. But I think he cares about our health. I think he cares about a lot of things. Cares about us. If you can find word on it, you ought to confess it over your life. Take their name out, put your name in it. James chapter 5, verse 16, I believe, says, the prayer of the righteous man availeth much. You ever thought about putting your name in that righteous place? The prayer of Eric availeth much. Say, that's got to be bad. You shouldn't say that. No, you should say that. That's what I'm saying. You confess the word of God over yourself. Now see, every one of you ought to pick up on that. And you ought to start saying that over yourself. Yes. The prayer of Eric. I wish you would say that if you don't mind. The prayer of Eric availeth much. Say it over you. You are the righteous person. If you got nothing out of this, you ought to get that righteousness is about not what you do. It's about being in him. We cannot keep enough rules to be righteous. We are righteous because of Jesus. And I'm preaching too long. God bless you. I hope you received it. Stand with me. A wise man knows when to shut up. And a wiser man should have known 10 minutes ago. What do you need?
What do you need God to do for you today? Find the word on it. Say, well, I want to leave my wife and I want to marry a new one. You're not going to find word on that. You can confess it till you're blue in the face and it's not of God. Find word. Find what the word says. Well, I'm sick in my body. All kinds of word on that. Confess it. Say, Eric, I need to be saved. We talked about the word on that. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. You shall be saved. Take this system and start applying it to every area in your life. Lord, I believe that you want me to prosper. I believe that you want me to be in health. I believe that you want me to be a success. I believe that you want me to be more than a conqueror. I believe you want me to walk in love. I believe in all these things. I confess it with my mouth. I don't feel nothing, but here we go. The life of a Christian, you're going to have to walk it before you feel it. Now today, 40 years later, I feel saved. I feel very saved. But I'm going to tell you, I didn't feel it for a long time. I think it's a shame when we go to a Pentecostal church and we say, how many people need to be saved? And you got Christians all over the congregation lifting their hands. You are saved. That's bad teaching. It's bad doctrine. We ought to be secure in who we are in Christ. Now, do you need to ask forgiveness? Probably so. You need to say, Jesus, I ain't had a real good week. I've done a lot of things that I'm just not real pleased about, and I'm sure you're not either. Will you forgive me? And he says, absolutely will. But you'll probably follow it up with this. Go and sin no more. Let's stop the offending behavior. Would you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes. Is anyone here today that says, you know, I really do need to be saved. I really do need to give my heart to Jesus. Just with an uplifted hand, this church is going to celebrate with you. Anyone around here at all? Pretty much every person in the building has done this very thing. Amen. Then how many of you would say, you know, the Holy Ghost pretty much pegged me at the very beginning of the service. I'm dry. Amen. See your hand. I see your hand. See the hands. Amen. I'm dry. Now let me ask you a question. Do you really believe that's the best that God has for us? Is to walk around dry. It's not his best. Jesus Christ died so that you could have the best of heaven on earth. What do I do, Eric? You believe, you confess, and you receive. I confess that the Spirit of life lives in me. That's a good one right there. The Spirit of life has replaced the spirit of death. I'm going to drink at the river of life today in Jesus' name. Guys, are you sick in body? He came to forgive us of all of our sins and heal us of our diseases. Confess His word. 1 Peter 2:24 says that by His stripes we were healed. Isaiah chapter 53. Psalms 103. Oh, just start looking. Start looking. Start reading the word. Start confessing it over your life. And then walk like a champion. Father, I thank you for these precious people. I thank you, Lord, that the Spirit of God, I believe, has brought this chapter alive to us today. And I pray, Lord Jesus,
protection over these saints, that as they leave this building, that the devil would not steal this word of freedom from them. Father, I know that as we even get in our cars, we're going to start thinking about all the rules that we know are true, even though that pastor didn't preach it. Father, help us to walk in liberty. Help us to walk in grace. Father, I just pray, Lord, that the people would find the joy of the Holy Ghost and throw the rule book away. Jesus, let us walk in freedom and fulfill your plan for our life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Pastor Ray, would you come and dismiss us?